Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
So, today, was thinking about today. As of Thursday last week, I was speaking on something else, and I felt like I was trying to make things work, and I always get nervous when I do that, because then it's more about what I want to say and instead of what I feel like the Lord wants me to communicate. So I spent some time over the weekend just thinking through, and actually just kind of what settled my heart is talking with my son. So some of you know Nathan. Nathan's a sophomore up at Clemson. And he had the opportunity to go with the Clemson FCA. There was a group of about 20 of them that went to England and Wales after New Year's and did some ministry with refugees and some homeless. And like a lot of us on missions trips, it just really floored Nathan. Now, the other thing for Nathan is that he's an architecture major, and they've already been talking to him about his graduate program. And the two schools that they've identified for him with what he wants to do and his niche, and part of it is Clemson making their name known out there. One school is in London, another school is in Dublin, Ireland. So Nathan's pretty stoked about that. But then going on this missions trip to London, Pat and I are trying to get Nathan to focus. You know, you have two more years to finish here before you go to London, because he's starting to live out there. But back during Christmas, kind of a melancholy Christmas. Amy couldn't come home from China, and Katie and Oren, a lot of you saw Katie, they came down and spent the time, but then right after Christmas the 26th, they actually flew back up to Canada. And so Nathan was around, and Nathan and I took off and went and did some bike riding up the Palmetto Trail and just kind of hung out together, and we were talking about life. And so part of it was Nathan putting up with his dad being sentimental, so appreciated that. But just talking with Nathan about where he wants to go and what he wants to be, and just the way the Lord has shaped him. And I'm just extremely proud of him for his commitments. I think I've said this before, but where he is right now in his life with his focus on academics, his heart for the Lord, he's miles ahead of where his dad was at his age. And so very, very proud of him. But just, you know, and all dads, you know, love to talk with our kids, especially as they get older and they begin to share where they're going. So it's kind of out of that as I was talking with him and then praying for him, the life of Joshua just kind of came out in some of my thoughts and some of my prayers. And so I want to share some of that with you. And I also want to just be totally gut honest, and I may have said this before, but in the fall, I really struggled. I felt like the devil was just kind of attacking me with this one thought: is it worth it? You know, I've been here a long time, 26 years. My kids Amy and Katie have come through here, and they're gone. And so I miss them around. That was such a privilege to have them here. And so this depression, I don't know if it's midlife crisis, maybe is a better term. I miss them. And there's frustrations here. Some of you are some of those. But that stuff happens. And I just felt like Satan just saying, Rick, it's been long enough. You know, is it really worth it? Look what's going on. And it's easy to get caught up in that. Look what's going on in the world, the choices people are making, you know, politics. Everybody's griping about everything these days. It's just like, oh, is it worth it? And the question specifically for me here, is it worth it? Well, if you've ever been in my office, and no, it's not a bad thing to come to my office. People come in my office and they're like, wow, I've never been in here. But I guess that's probably a good thing. Like, no, come by and see me. You know, it can be a good thing. But on the shelf, several shelves behind my desk, I have all kinds of knickknacks. Some are from you, but from students in days gone by, and they're just mementos. that just remind me of things that have happened. Some of them are gifts from international students. There's a shot glass, there's a piece of toilet paper. There's stories behind those of how those came about. But they all represent a person or a couple people. And I look at that and I think about that and it's like, heck yeah, it's worth it. If I get to do that and I get to make a little bit of a mark, you know, one girl gave me a little small frame of a thumbprint and just thanked me for making an imprint on her life. Man, if that's what I get out of it, there ain't much that can beat that. And so continually having to have that perspective, and as I talk with Nathan, where my kids are, so much to be thankful for, and it's like, Satan, would you just get off my back and just go away? And I'm trying to walk, and I appreciate Tyler, his comments of just my leadership here. And all the credit goes to tons of people that have invested in me and that are investing in me now. So I want to take some of my experiences, but I want to focus on Joshua's experiences. And I want to think about you and where are you going in your leadership? Now you're going to say, I don't really see myself as a leader. Yeah, but you are. If you have the Spirit of God in you, then He has gifted you and enabled you to do things that are unique to you. And if you're the one that's unique doing that, then you're the leader in that. And so you'll be leading. So I want to talk about leadership a little bit. And I want to unpack Joshua's life of how he grew as a leader, but also where he was spiritually. And I want to challenge us in that. And so I want to walk with Joshua through the wilderness. And so our wilderness is college, it's life, it's job, it's everything. And so our daily life can be the wilderness sometimes with a goal in mind, but right now it's like, really? And so you might feel like that I'm going through some drudgery. So let's take a look and start going through this. So first of all, Joshua's preparation. Numbers 11, 27 through 29. So there had been this meeting. Joshua got 70 elders around. The Spirit of God came down and rested upon these people. The meeting kind of broke up, and there's a couple guys that are sticking around. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, My Lord Moses, stop them! But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. And so here's an up-and-coming Joshua that's there, and he's like, man, these guys are prophesying. Moses, you're the leader. You got to stop these people. And Moses said, Hey, Joshua, it's okay. If everybody in this place was spiritual, we wouldn't be wandering for 40 years. We'd be in the promised land by now, but I wish the people were not. So you don't have to take that from me. God's not taking that from me. He's doing this. So just rest in that. And so learn to be teachable. So here's Joshua, very zealous in leadership, right heart. You know, he's thinking from the right direction, but Moses has to say, hang on. And so here's Joshua, early lesson, be teachable. All right, good heart, still maturing. Later on, Numbers 13, and then in 14, 5 through 9. This is the story of sending the spies into the land. We all know from Sunday school, we've heard this a gazillion times. 10 said no, 2 said yes. So Joshua and Caleb come back and they give a good report. We have the words that Caleb spoke initially, where he says, come on, guys, what are you talking about? I know they're big, but God's given us the land, we can go in there. And Joshua doesn't say anything right there. But a little bit later, some bad things happen. People start speaking out against them. No, we can't go in. We're not going to do it. Let's stop it. And Joshua speaks up. Joshua rips his clothes and says, are you people serious? Are you kidding me? God has given it to us. All these people were against Joshua and Caleb. But Joshua and Caleb did not waver from resting in God's promise. All the peer pressure you could throw at two young guys, and they did not waver in that. Learn to be a person of conviction. So easily, we don't want to be wrong, but we're not wrong. But because everybody else thinks they're right, you think, I must be wrong. Man, don't suck into that. If you're resting on God's word and his truth, you are right. And if you have to be alone because you're right. And you've got God's word to back you up. And that happens around here. It shouldn't, but it does. And so you have peers around here that come at you and tell you you're not right. And you feel like, man, I know that's what God's word said. I know I'm doing right. Stand strong. Now here's a cool little aside. So Joshua tears his clothes, rends his garment, and the people get really, really ticked off. So they pick up stones to stone him. Guess what happens? The glory of the Lord shines behind them in the tent. Wouldn't that be awesome? You're trying to stand up for doing what's right, and someone gets up in your face, and the glory of the Lord, boom, behind you. You're like, better back off. Doesn't happen. I really wish that would happen sometimes. But you know what? The Spirit of the Lord might not beam radiant behind you. The Word of God is behind you. The Spirit is within you, so you can stand strong. So be a person of conviction and learn to do that. And you're going to go through trials that challenge you in becoming a person of conviction. So Numbers 27, 12 through 20. So Joshua's not really an active player in this one, but we kind of see what's going on. Moses, as you know, was not permitted to lead Israel into the promised land because of his sin, his rebellion, things that he did out of anger. But the Lord takes him and says, I want you to look over. You see the land. But before you enter the land, I'm going to gather you up with your people. And he's talking about the generation that has died in the wilderness. I'm going to gather you to those people. So Moses, you will not go there. Moses says in 15 and 16, he says, Lord, you need to raise up a leader for these people. And God, Rick's paraphrase, says, Moses, already been working on that. Joshua is out there. I want you to get Joshua, and I want you to bring him in, and I want you to lift him up in leadership. And then it's very interesting what it says. I want you to grant him some of your authority. And I looked at that word, and I was like, grant him some of your authority. Why some of that authority, not all of that authority? Well, it's the preparation phase. Learn patience. If you got all the responsibility, if Joshua had gotten all the responsibility at that time, would he have been able to handle it? When we start getting into Joshua 1, you can see the fear and trepidation that's in Joshua's heart in leading these people. But we see Moses and God talking together, Joshua being lifted up, and the Lord is basically saying, give him some of your authority. Joshua needs to learn to be patient. We need to learn to be patient in our leadership. We often get rash, and we kind of have that position, we kind of have that authority, and then we get caught up in our rights, our entitlement, and we get way ahead of ourselves, and we get way ahead of God, and we're leading without him, and that's a dangerous place to be. So be teachable, learn to be a person of conviction, and then be patient for God's timing to put you up there. Next, there's a transition. So Moses is going to die. Joshua steps in. So Joshua 1, 1 through 9. If you're worried about being in leadership, what a great passage to read. Because here's Joshua, given leadership of all of these people, with a daunting task to cross the Jordan and go in and take the promised land. And he's got to lead these people. How many times in those verses, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. But God says, everywhere you put your foot, I have given you that. God said, I have won the battle. Joshua, you have got to take these people in and conquer the land. God's promises are clearly shared with Joshua, but he still needs the encouragement and confidence to lead. I know when I started out here, I was 27. I was the dean of men, is what we called it back then. And I felt so inadequate. But there were a couple professors that had been here for a long, long time already, legends around here, Dr. Hulbert and Dr. Larkin. And at separate occasions, I was in a meeting with each of them, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And I'm just like, I'll just, you know, tuck down here and let them all talk smart things, and the meeting will be done, and I can leave without putting my foot in my mouth. And both of them, in separate meetings, asked me for my opinion. And, you know, with probably some fear, I spoke out. But they both affirmed me, and on the sidewalk, I remember several people finding out about me, asking me how I was doing, and those kinds of things. This affirmation, this encouragement, this confidence that people were giving me. We need confidence and encouragement. God's word will give that, but look for those around you that can help you in that. Some of you have a mentor. They're in a discipleship relationship. Someone that can be investing in you, giving you that confidence and encouragement. You know, I think about the words that the Lord spoke to Joshua, that everywhere you place your foot, I have given you that. So what if Coach Elmore goes to one of the ladies on the basketball team and said, every time you get the ball, I want you to take a shot. Because every time you take a shot, you're going to score. And you're like, Coach, do you see who's covering me out there? There's Brittany Griner, Brianna Stewart, and Elena Denadon, however you say her name. The blonde chick that was whooping it at the Olympics. So here's three shot blockers. They're right in front of me. Every time you take a shot, you're going to make it. Be strong and courageous. Is the player still going to be, I'm not sure if this is going to work out. You know, what if every time they started shooting, it went in? And no shots were blocked. The confidence and encouragement that would come from that. So Joshua is working on promises. Remember, he went into the land. He saw the people. He saw the giants. He knew what was there. But he moved ahead with a promise that if God says this, it's true, and I'm going to move in that. We need encouragement and confidence, and God's promises are as true for us today as they were for Joshua as he took into leadership. After Joshua 1 through 9, comes Joshua 1:10 and following, and Joshua has to start leading. So begin exercising the leadership gifts and abilities that you've been given. So Joshua has been told time and time again, I'm with you, I will lead you. Joshua, lead. Go do it. And so Joshua says, everybody, let's get it up, pack it up, we're going to go. We're going to start taking the land. And then in verse 16, you see other leaders begin to back Joshua up, and they speak out on his behalf. And so as you begin to lead, you begin to experience, God is with me. God is with me. He's given me that ability. I can lead. And again, it's in step with the Lord, not getting ahead of him. Then in Joshua 4, there's some things that happen that kind of mark who Joshua is, not just as a leader, but his character. First thing that he does is he has Passover. They celebrate the Passover. So all these years that they've been in the wilderness, they've continued to celebrate the Passover. When they left Egypt, an incredible miracle that God did to deliver them. And they've remembered that, and they've remembered that. But here they go into the land. Joshua, right at the start of his leadership, we are going to remember the Lord. And so in the Passover, they worship. But then one of the most phenomenal events, I think, in Joseph's life happens after that. They're there. They're camped outside Jericho. It's in the distance. Joshua sees someone coming towards him with a sword drawn. Joshua goes out, we've talked about this in here before, says, are you for us or are you against us? And the answer is no. That wasn't the question. Are you for us or are you against us? Are you on my side or are you the enemy? Neither. Joshua has an encounter with the captain of the Lord of hosts. A Christophany, maybe. But here is Joshua being challenged in his leadership. Who's in charge here? Joshua ends up on the ground honoring and worshiping this person, realizing that you are in charge. Whatever you're about, Lord, I want to be about that as well. So those two things that Joshua did there, as you step into your leadership role, your career, remember the Lord. First of all, in worship, your personal relationship with the Lord has to come before everything else. Otherwise, you've just turned off the connection that's there. You have the control over that. So first of all, in everything that you do, as God places you in position, remember the Lord in worship. But then also remember the Lord in your role or in your job. God does not place you somewhere and say, hey, it's just a business job. It's not really in ministry. So, you know, hope it goes well. See you Sunday. You know, we say that to God. He never says that to us. So as you step into your leadership, always remember to honor him in your worship and then honor him through your responsibility. Saw that with Joshua, led the people in the Passover, and then in his leadership at that moment, there's an incredible video, Andy Stanley, he says it was at that moment that Joshua became a leader under authority. And that made all the difference in his life. You need to make that decision as well as you go into leadership. They're not separate. You can't say, well, I will worship you, but my job, it's my career, I got that. I can take that. You don't get both. You have to make the choice. If you want God to be with you, it's everything or it's nothing. And you've made that choice. If you choose to say, you know, I'll do the church thing, but my lifestyle, my church, my job, and all that kind of stuff, that's me. God says, then hands off. You can't take one without the other. You've got to get all in. So in the transition, you need to have that confidence and that encouragement that comes from other people. You need to begin exercising the gifts and abilities that God has given you as you step into leadership. And then you've got to remember the Lord. And then the leading. When you get to lead for real, when you step into situations where it's like, whoa, it's me. It's my life. Then how do we do? Well, we look at Joshua 6. Joshua goes in and he leads strong. This is what the Lord has told us to do. This is what we will do. That conviction that he learned back when he was a younger leader, it shows up here in his leadership. This is what God has said, and this is what we will do. And so we need to lead strong. And then second, living out your commitments to the Lord. Joshua's internal played itself out in his external. He was never divorced in his leadership versus his honoring God. They were together, as we talked about in that last point. He lived with integrity before God and men. No one could question Joshua. Well, why are you doing this? Joshua's like, this is what the Lord has said. And that backed him up. We need to be people of integrity and lead with that integrity before the Lord and before co-workers, those that we're partnered with. Then the last thing from Joshua's life, Joshua 7, what a horrible situation to go through. Won this incredible battle at Jericho with these fortress walls, and God devastates them, gives the people over to them, and then an easier battle. And they get their tails kicked. And Joshua's back, Lord, why? Why is this going on? And God says, there is sin. people did not do what I said. Joshua, you have got to fix this. You have got to straighten this out. And so Joshua does some very, very hard things as a leader, but he does what he knows to be right. And as the leader, Joshua was responsible. He took the responsibility before God. He knew it was his people that he was leading. And since they were his people, he's like, Lord, we will repent. We will make this right. And it was tough. Life is real. You have got to take it serious. Check out Joshua 7:19. This is Joshua talking to Achan and says, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give him praise. Good. Good words, Joshua. What was that in the context? You need to confess your sins. So I can give glory to God through the confession of everything that I've done wrong and against him? Yes, you can. That's leadership. That's taking responsibility first and foremost for your own heart and your integrity. That God, I want to be upright before you. I want to choose to honor you and worship you and lift your name up right now by confessing what I've done. Realizing that my leadership is nothing if I can't stand with integrity before you, because then I can't stand with integrity before the people. Lead strong and be responsible and own it. Joshua was a phenomenal leader. Led the people into the promised land, conquered enemy after enemy. But ultimately, was it really that hard? No, God had already given him the victory, but he had to walk in that. There was preparation. He had to learn to be teachable. He had to learn to live by his convictions. And he had to learn to be patient. And then he realized that he needed encouragement and he needed confidence. We have God's promises that we can stand on. Hopefully we have people around us that walk with us. We realize that God's promises are true and we can live in them. Then we exercise what God has given us, the gift and abilities that we have, and we begin to demonstrate that in leadership. Some of you step up in different leadership roles here, or you've got a job off campus and you have decided to live by your convictions, and that has gotten you some leadership that maybe you're not ready for. But exercise those gifts and abilities that God has given you. But as you move on and as you progress, don't forget the Lord. Remember to honor him personally in your own heart in that personal worship, but then honor him in your job. And then when you're really doing it, whenever that is, lead strong. Take that conviction, the teachableness, everything that you've got, resting on God's promises, lead strong. And then take responsibility. If you mess up, people under you mess up, step in there, make it right. Be a person of integrity before the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Joshua's life. What a picture that is for us. And Lord, we see the highlights, but we get a glimpse into who he was. Lord, thank you that he was a man of conviction that rested in you. And I know, Lord, some of us so many times feel like we've got to work and work and work to prove ourselves to you, but that's not how we do that. It's resting in you, understanding your grace is there for us. And we see that picture in Joshua's life. And Lord, as we grow and as we mature and you give us more to do, help us never to forget you. Lord, we play games with you. And they're so foolish. Life is so real. And sometimes it's way more real than we ever want it to be. Now's a time of preparation for so many in here. Lord, help them to treat it as real. That what's coming is going to be tough, but it can be filled with victory and blessing in the midst of difficult battles. But help them to be real, to lead strong, and to always be people of integrity. Lord, it's your work in us. We want to do it. We want to be there for you. So to that end, we commit ourselves, Lord, and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.